This is Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for May 16th, 2024. This is episode 97. I look around the internet for news on sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. Joining me this week is my AI friend, Bella.
Nice to be back.
Hey, thanks for filling in for me last week.
You're welcome, Tony.
Here are the headlines. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow has a release date. Nick Cage goes Spidey Noir. Luke and Mila are in a sci-fi film. And the Lincoln Lawyer meets dinos. Ron Howard on Roger Corman. There is more sci-fi talk, so stay tuned. Variety reports that Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow has a release date of June 26, 2026. Millie Alcock is the Gal of Steel. Script is from Anna Nogueira, who wrote for The Vampire Diaries. Greg Gillespie is directing. The story is based on the acclaimed comic that has Supergirl traveling the cosmos with Krypto, the Superdog, to escape the shadow of her cousin, Superman. More at Variety.
Ace Showbiz reports that Nicolas Cage is set to bring Spider-Man Noir to life in a new live-action series. Noir has a down-on-his-luck private investigator living in 1930s New York City who must confront his past in order to protect the city's future as its only superhero. Spider-Noir previously gave a glimpse into life in his universe and into the Spider-Verse, revealing, "It's 1933, and I'm a private eye. I like to drink egg creams, and I like to fight Nazis. A lot," according to Nicolas Cage. Oren Uziel and Steve Lightfoot will serve as co-showrunners and executive producers. More at Ace Showbiz.
The Hollywood Reporter has a story on Luke Evans and Mila Jovovich starring in SF film Worldbreaker. The official logline reads, "Worldbreaker is an action-packed, high-quality, independent proposition that rivals big-budget studio fare." "So we pounced on this one," said development manager Kate Wilkinson. "With its very appealing cast, thrilling script, and great filmmaker credentials, we are certain the UK and Irish audiences will lap it up in 2025. More at The Hollywood Reporter.
Deadline reports that Lincoln Lawyer actor Manuel Garcia Rulfo is in negotiations to star along with Scarlett Johansson and Jonathan Bailey in a new Jurassic World movie. Gareth Edwards will direct. The film is set to debut on July 2, 2025. None of the former stars are expected to return. Garcia Rulfo will also star in the Spanish-language film Pedro Páramo. More at Deadline.
Variety has a story on Ron Howard, paying tribute to legendary filmmaker Roger Corman, who passed away recently. Howard released these thoughts. "Roger not only mentored a couple of generations of high-profile filmmakers, but he also opened doors to many on the production side who were struggling to find career paths in the industry. When I was working for Roger, he had far more women in positions of authority throughout his company and various movie departments than any other studio at the time. For us rookie directors, he taught us how to find our creative voices and express ourselves within the framework of popular entertainment genres. The audiences were always king, and despite the tight budgets, Roger pushed to deliver on each movie's promise. In the case of Grand Theft Auto, it meant more cars, more zany characters, and more outlandish crashes. But don't think I didn't learn lessons both in shooting and post-production that I have learned throughout my career." More at Variety. My podcast is going to be re-releasing a news conference I did with the famed producer and director Roger Corman this coming week as a bonus, so stay tuned.
Deadline reports that Frank Grillo has been cast in Peacemaker Season 2. He will play a live-action version of Rick Flagg Sr., who he voiced in the upcoming animated Creature Commandos. James Gunn said, "I'll be directing some of the episodes, like in Saturday's shoot, but there are three other great directors joining me for the season." More at Deadline.
At Variety's Sony FYC Showcase, the For All Mankind showrunners talked about in a panel, Building a Television Universe, with Ronald D. Moore, with co-showrunners and executive producers Matt Wolpert and Ben Nadavi, as well as Mary Davis, who serves as an executive producer. Ronald D. Moore, who also executive produces Outlander, talked about the origins of the show. It begins with a question. What if the Russians landed on the moon first? From this starting point, For All Mankind was born. As a kid, he had hoped the Apollo program would continue to build on their first moon landing, but it fizzled out instead. I thought it was an opportunity to play that out. Let's see what the future, and let's do a show about how things can be better. It's not just a show that says, this is how the past could have been better. We could have done all these other things. By implication, we're also saying we can still do these things today. We can still reach for the stars in a literal and figurative way, and we can still make a better world for all of us. More at Variety. Deadline reports that Mortal Kombat 2 will debut in theaters October 24, 2025. The film continues the story of the recent film. Carl Urban, Adeline Rudolph, Louis Tan, Jessica McNee, Josh Lawson, Tandoa Asano, Mechad Brooks, Ludie Lin, Damian Harriman, Tati Gabrielle, Meriden Ford with Jin Han, Joe Taslin, and Hiroyuki Sanada make up the cast. More at Deadline.
Two key fantasy trailers were released recently. House of the Dragon revealed amazing dragon footage, plus some choice words from Aegon. The drama is based on George R. Martin's Fire and Blood, with a grand-scale war to follow between the Targaryens and the Hightowers, following the season one finale. The series continued filming during the summer last year because of its largely British cast that are under equity contracts. Returning are Matt Smith, Olivia Cooke, Emma Darcy, Eve Best, Steve Toussaint, Fabian Frankel, Ewan Mitchell, Tom Glenn Carney, Sonoya Mizuno, and Rhys Ifans. Additional returning cast includes Harry Collett, Bethany Antonia, Phoebe Campbell, Fia Sabin, Jefferson Hall, and Matthew Needham. New to the cast are Abubakar Salim as Alan of Hull, Gail Rankin as Alice Rivers, Freddie Fox as Sir Gawain Hightower, Simon Russell Beale as Sir Simon Strong, Clinton Liberty as Adam of Hull, Jamie Kenna as Sir Alfred Broom, Kieran Bew as Hugh, Tom Bennett as Ulf, Tom Taylor as Lord Cregan Stark, and Vincent Regan as Sir Rickard Thorne. More at Deadline. Deadline also reports that the trailer for Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, has released its action-packed trailer. Plus, we get some new glimpses of Sauron's new form. Based on parts of Tolkien's posthumous The Silmarillion, the series has a planned arc of 5 seasons. We filmed the first 2 episodes, then went on hiatus, and then with maybe 2 months to go of the hiatus before starting episode 3, the showrunners said, "We want to have a meeting with you." Charlie Vickers told Deadline in episode 8 of the Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power after show, Inside the Ring, after the finale had aired. "They took me into the set that Galadriel discovers in the first episode with the orcs through the walls and Sauron's sigil on the forge. They took me in there and said, this is your world. You're playing Sauron." More at Deadline. There is more Sci-Fi Talk Weekly episode 97 with more news.
Disney had their upfronts recently where the studio revealed what was coming up. According to Variety, Marvel revealed teasers for Daredevil Born Again, Agatha All Along, and Ironheart. More at Variety.
Comic Book Resources reports that Marvel Comics has announced several new titles. First off, Exceptional X-Men, which teams Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde in a unique partnership. Other X-Men are getting their own series, Wolverine, no surprise there, Storm, Phoenix, and Dazzler. More at CBR.
Deadline reports that A Quiet Place Day One will have its world premiere at the Tribeca Festival on June 26. Another film of note includes Newt, featuring Star Trek's Tawny Newsom. More at Deadline.
A24 has It Comes at Night. According to Dread Central, Chad Collins writes, It Comes at Night's trailer was cut to perfection. Discordant music enmeshed with fragmented glimpses of a family on edge, the looming threat of something just beyond their doors in the dark of the night, waiting to break in. I was removed enough from the trailer to not remember much, but those who saw It Comes at Night opening weekend probably remembered it better than I did. And that's probably why one of A24's scariest movies earned a D cinema score, one of the production company's lowest ever. For reference, The Witch was released 2 years prior and managed a C on the same scale. It's why it comes at night, beholden to that age-old adage that what isn't seen is scarier than what is, endures, at least for me, several years out. More at Dread Central.
According to comic book resources, Jordan Peele's new horror film is Him for Universal Pictures, arriving at theaters on September 19, 2025. Justin Tipping directs with Marlon Wayans starring. Him will see Wayans playing a legendary quarterback who gets tasked with training a rising young athlete at his isolated compound. Also in the film, Julia Fox, Tariq Withers, Tim Heidecker, and Jim Jeffries. And plus rappers Quaddad 4000 and Tierra Whack. More at CBR.
Deadline hosts the cast and showrunners of Fallout at their studio at Prime Experience recently. As reported by Anthony D'Alessandro, Fallout executive producer Geneva Robertson-Dworet said, "There is so much we had to leave behind in season one. There's potentially thousands of hours of gameplay. We have 8 hours to tell our story." Ella Purnell, who plays hopeful bride-turned-apocalypse survivor, renegade Lucy McLean, "I want a cute puppy that she can carry around. I'd like less spam and more carbonara in the wasteland, please." Kyle MacLachlan on his character stated, "Hank believes completely in what he's doing, and even if some of the sacrifices that he's had to make are monumental, he does them because he believes in what he's doing. Rightfully or wrongfully, we'll find out." Walton Goggins plays the popular ghoul commented, "The very first time we did the application of his mask, I asked to be left alone for an hour and a half outside, and Jonah, Nolan, came by," Goggins recalled. "I just sat outside by myself and just photographed it, like in the sun and in the shade. I was extremely intimidated, but excited to see how this Ferrari would work. And then the very first day of filming, I was extremely insecure. It was extremely uncomfortable. And I didn't know what the audience was seeing and what they weren't seeing." He said to Jonathan Nolan, co-showrunner, "I said, man, do you see this? Are you understanding what's happening inside?" And he said, "We got it. We see it all. It's all in your eyes, man. Just do whatever you want. You have the freedom to do what you want." And then once I settled into that, I had him, because it was so well defined by what they wrote. Goggins replied, more at Deadline.
Prime Timer has a look at Joe Egerton's Dark Matter. Rafa Sales Ross writes, "Jason's very own sense of unfulfillment is taken to a breaking point when his old university colleague is awarded a prize equivalent to the Nobel in physics. It is while leaving the friend's celebratory drinks that Jason is violently whisked away into an alternate reality, kicking off the puzzle at the center of his brilliantly executed adaptation of Blake Crouch's bestseller. It's no easy feat to create a sci-fi world revolving around complex laws of physics without alienating audiences with long-winded dives into the teeniest details of the whys and hows. This is why dark matter works so well as a genre offering. We know from the get-go that, according to science, things can exist in two planes at once. The fact is established early in the pilot, without the need for further elaboration or convoluted montages, in which you can almost sense the grueling hours of labor it took the actors to memorize 3 pages of theory. The plot is also cleverly structured to tell the audience exactly what the show is about without giving away much of its secrets, allowing the space for a certain smugness for those who catch the initial trick without depriving them of surprises as the episodes pile on." More at Prime Timer. Reactor has an excerpt from Alexandra Warwick's The North Wind. Here's Bella.
Thanks, Tony. Ren of Edgewood is no stranger to suffering. With her parents gone, it's Ren's responsibility to ensure she and her sister survive the harsh and endless winter. But if the legends are to be believed, their home may not be safe for much longer. For 300 years, the land surrounding Edgewood has been encased in ice as the Shade, a magical barrier that protects the townsfolk from the deadlands beyond, weakens. Only one thing can stop the Shade's fall: the blood of a mortal woman bound in wedlock to the North Wind, a dangerous immortal whose heart is said to be as frigid as the land he rules. And the time has come to choose his bride. When the North Wind sets his eyes on Ren's sister, Ren will do anything to save her, even if it means sacrificing herself in the process. But mortal or not, Ren won't go down without a fight.
There is more of the excerpt at Reactor. Movie Maker has 12 Silence of the Lambs details most people missed. Here are just a few.
The Billskin's fifth article is not about Buffalo Bill, but Hannibal Lecter. But hit pause and look closer at the article, and you'll see that the article isn't about Bill at all, but rather about Lecter. It describes Lecter's arrest and background, and includes comments from Lecter and Crawford.
The film rarely mentions politics at all. However, in an exchange with Crawford and Clarice, we learn that Crawford mentions, "I remember you from my seminar at UVA. You grilled me pretty hard, as I recall, on the Bureau's civil rights record on the Hoover years."
Lecter gives Clarice a major clue when they first meet. Claire points out a pencil drawing in Lecter's cell. "That is the Duomo, seen from the Belvedere," Lecter says. As Lecter already knows, James Gumb, a.k.a. Buffalo Bill, lives in Belvedere, Ohio.
More at Movie Maker. Some really great stuff, and some foreshadowing, as we saw. And lastly, Belle and I have some of the all 10 Sauron forms in Lord of the Rings, explained by Screen Rant.
Sauron has the skill to shape shift, so we begin with Myron, who is associated with Aule the Smith. He took that form to gain the confidence of the elves.
Sauron had to appear in his final form because of his becoming Morgoth's servant. He is described as larger than a man, but not gigantic.
The wolf, with only the high elves and dwarves having the courage to face him in this form.
There is more at Screen Rant. You're in control with Sci-Fi Talk Plus.
You create your own playlist from over 1,000 podcast episodes and exclusive videos on your favorite movies and television.
With the Mix 100 podcast series by your downloads, you control the choices that make the list. And my Ask Me Anything, you can tell me what you want out of the subscription.
There's an introductory price of $2.50 a month, which comes to only $2.08 a month if you opt in for the yearly subscription.
You control what you listen to with Sci-Fi Talk Plus.
Enrollment, no problem. Click on the link in the show notes and get a free trial period too.
But do it quickly. The offer expires on June 1st. Thanks, Bella. Sci-Fi Talk Weekly returns in June after a brief hiatus.
Sounds good, Tony.
And that was Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for May 16th, 2024, my episode 97. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tony Tolado.
And I'm Bella. Enjoy your day.